fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC, Sulla returns to Italy in 83 BC. After making peace with Mithridates, Sulla took over the army of Fimbria, who later committed suicide in Pergamum. Placing the army under the command of L. Licinius Murena, it was to serve as a permanent garrison in the province of Asia. Sulla now set sail for Italy, accompanied by his army of 30,000 to 40,000 men. I should point out that they were certainly more loyal to Sulla than to the Roman government. Sulla landed at Brundisium in the spring of 83 BC. To oppose Sulla, ex-consul Carbo raised two armies of 50,000 men. The problem is, Sulla is bringing back veterans. Carbo's armies are, first of all, mostly raw recruits. They are very undisciplined, which means they're not very reliable. And there's always the question of just who are they loyal to? The government, Carbo, or Sulla? They were also poorly led, and that doesn't help either. Consul Licinius Cornelius Scipio and Consul C. Norbanus are both men with very little war experience, although Scipio has a nice famous name, but genetics generally does not follow one general to the next general. Sulla easily defeated Consul Narbonus's army and Scipio's army by simply, Scipio's army switched sides and deserted the Sulla. The only anti-Sullan who might have been able to defeat Sulla was Quintus Sertorius, but his own party leaders found him too harsh a critic of their plans, and at the earliest possible opportunity, ended up shipping him off to fight in Spain instead of staying to help deal with Sulla. The army leaders who joined Sulla in Italy were far superior to their opponents in both experience and military capabilities. The first to join Sulla was brother-in-law Metellus Pius, who brought with him a number of recruits from his hiding place in Liguria. Next to join up was young Marcus Licinius Crassus, leading a small army that had just returned from Spain. Of course, he's the future great money man in the first triumvirate. An even more valuable addition to Sulla's forces was Pompey, both in the number of troops he brought as well as his military skill. On his own initiative, Pompey raised three legions in Picenum, and then reaching Sulla was hailed as Imperator, which means the Great, which stuck with him for the rest of his life. Anti-Sullans, to bolster their crumbling regime, elected several consuls in 82 BC, one Gnaeus Papirius Carbo, and the second Gaius Marius. That's the adopted son of Marius the Elder. But neither one was a first-class general, though both were fairly successful in recruiting troops. And they recruited troops in two locations, Etruria, which is the old Etruscan territory, and Samnium. The Samnites have always been great fighters, and this is a major plus for the anti-Sullan forces. Now, Carbo went south and rallied thousands of Samnites to his cause. Marius attracted veterans just by the magic of his father's name. The next consuls chose to combat in separate areas. Instead of combining the two armies, they split up. Carbo directed operations in the north. Marius directed operations outside of the city of Rome. In his efforts to block Sulla's march up the Appian Way, Marius fought a series of losing battles and was forced to take refuge in Praeneste. Sulla then hurried north and met Carbo at Clusium in Etruria. And although Sulla did not win a decisive victory, he did succeed in breaking the morale of Carbo's army, which was already undermined by, first of all, Metellus's successes in the north of Italy, and Pompey and Crassus's successes in Umbria. Carbo, seeing the futility of further fighting, simply escaped to North Africa. Now, this later on will become a disaster for the anti-Solons because Carbo gave up too soon. The worst was still far from over, and victory might still have been possible. Had Carbo had the military sense of Marius, he might have, even with his battered army, simply followed Sulla south. As Sulla met a huge Samnite army outside the city of Rome, at the Battle of Colon Gate, the Samnites, fighting with incredible ferocity, fought far into the night, crumbling Sulla's left wing, which was under his command. Fortunately, Crassus, who commanded Sulla's right wing, was victorious. But had Carbo arrived at the crucial moment with any amount of troops, Sulla might not have become dictator of Rome, and that would have spared Rome the horrors of a Sulla triumph. So it's an odd thing. I mean, he has a great military reputation, and even though, you know, he came back with veterans, he still had to deal with the warrior classes of the old Latin kingdoms. And unfortunately, the Samnites are going to pay a really heavy price for losing to Sulla. And he's just going to go nuts. You remember when Marius took over after Sulla went off to fight Mithridates and did all kinds of odd things? Well, Sulla is going to exceed that incredibly. Now, the sources for this are The History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, The Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, and The History of the Romans by Bourne. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the new website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, which of course you can get on thumb drives, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.